Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Thursday, December 19th, 2019. Trying to focus on the good news. Admittedly, failing somewhat miserably. Coming back to it in a second here. But this story about Larry Page, Google's Larry Page, gave $400 million in Christmas donations. Not a penny went straight to charity. And not to mention, you know, what these charitable, philanthropic, humanitarian organizations, you know, the public would presume that a not-for-profit organization would not be pocketing obscene profits and funneling said filthy lucre to various unsavory activities. You know, generally we think, you know, feeding the poor or, you know, homeless or whatever, those kinds of things. And again, I can't help but think of Walden, Henry David Thoreau's words in Walden. And, you know, the thousand hacking at the branches of evil. To one who is striking at the root. What did he say? It may be that he who bestows the largest amount of time and money on the needy is doing the most by his mode of life to produce that misery which he strives in vain to relieve, or, you know, ostensibly is usually the word that I think of in that passage. Google's Larry Page gave $400 million in Christmas donations. Not a penny went straight to charity. And so, again, the Reese Committee comes to mind. Nothing new here. Nothing new. It's just more blatant and overt, becoming, growing ever more so. The Carl Victor Page Foundation, Memorial Foundation, you know, headquartered in Palo Alto. Why be secretive about it? You know, we're just coming more and more out into the open, I think, about these things. So it reminds me of the Reese Committee and why there should be no such thing as tax-exempt status for anything. You know, the discussion has been had about tax-exempt status for churches and things, for example. Same thing. You know, if we roll that back, then we start to get to the heart of the abusive and oppressive taxation issue. I think that would be a good thing. But, you know, and again, I mean, people have, you know, it's the administrative fourth branch. And so anything that it touches, it owns. And so you think of, you know, Jesus saying, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Whose face is on that institution? So I think of the Reese Committee when I see articles like this, but also Iran-Contra and the lessons of history, and Albert A. Hakim. Albert Hakim, the Iranian-American businessman and figure in the Iran-Contra affair. Remember the LA Times article back in 1987? CIA contacted by arms middleman in 1983, source says. Yeah, that's how that went. Do you believe that that's how it went? That you know, Albert Hakim just showed up in Langley one day and knocked on the front door and said, "Hey, I got an idea." Who's foolish enough to believe that? CIA contacted by arms middleman in 1983, source says. That's the tail wagging the dog. Albert A. Hakim, the Iranian-born California businessman who played a leading role in U.S. arms sales to Iran, approached the CIA in July 1983. And by 1984, Jonathan Quitney's Endless Enemies, The Making of an Unfriendly World, was published. So in July 1983 with a plan to gain favor with the Iranian government by selling it arms, a source familiar with the contact said Wednesday. The source, speaking on, the condition that he not be identified. So the tail can wag the dog, said Hakim contacted the CIA immediately after two apparent representatives of the Iranian government met with him at his office in San Jose. See how just none of it, It's the stuff that Hollywood movies are made of. The pair was said to have come to the United States with a shopping list, quote unquote, of arms and spare military parts. The ghost of Gladio strikes again. The ever-present Gladio Network. So I think of Albert Hakim whenever I think of massive donations to charitable, ostensibly so, organizations. And, you know, especially folks that you just, how did this guy become a billionaire? Oh, he's a hedge fund manager. Of course. I think of Albert Hakim. The Albert Hakim of our day is usually what I say. So, you know, I'll throw some links to that in the archives. Those kinds of things. Tail wagging the dog. It's difficult not to be cynical, and, you know, we should learn the lessons of history and not be duped and manipulated and have our sons and daughters conscripted as cannon fodder, as some ne'er-do-well old-school bad guys have put it. Dehumanized and dehumanizing others considered to be their enemy when in point of fact, they probably have more in common than they realize. So that brings us back to the story Christmas on the Rappahannock. The Civil War truce, Christmas 1862, as recounted by Reverend John Paxton, first published in Harper's Weekly in 1886. So back to that story. Yes, there was a girl too, such sweet eyes, such long lashes, such a low, tender voice. And again, my cynicism says, you know, this is one of the reasons when you have the long war, this is one of the reasons we want to conscript women to military service to kind of keep guys interested in hanging around. It also serves well, you know, on the other side. And we've talked about that, but we won't get into that. Come, move quicker. Who goes there? Shift the rifle from one aching shoulder to the other. Hello, Johnny. What are you up to? The river was narrow but deep and swift. It was a wet cold, not a freezing cold. There was no ice. Too swift for that. Yank, with no overcoat, shoes full of holes, nothing to eat but parched corn and tobacco. And with this darn Yankee snow a foot deep, there's nothing left, nothing, but to get up a cough by way of protesting against this infernal ill-treatment of the body. We uns, Yank, all have a cough over here, and there's no saying which will run us to hole first, the cough or your bullets. The snow still fell, the keen wind, raw and fierce, cut to the bone. It was God's worst weather, and God's forlornest, bleakest spot of ground that Christmas day of 62 on the Rappahannock, a half mile below the town of Fredericksburg. But come, pick up your prostrate pluck, your shivering private. Surely there is enough dampness around with your adding to it your tears. Let's laugh, boys. Hello, Johnny. Hello yourself, Yank. Merry Christmas, Johnny. Same to you, Yank. Say, Johnny, got anything to trade? Say, Johnny, got anything to trade? Parched corn and tobacco, the size of our Christmas, Yank. All right, you shall have some of our coffee and sugar and pork. Boys, find the boats. Such boats. I see the children sailing them on small lakes in our Central Park. Some Yankee, desperately hungry for tobacco, invented them for trading with the Johnnies. They were hid away under the banks of the river for successive relays of pickets. We got out the boats, and Old Handkerchief answered for a sail. We loaded them with coffee, sugar, pork, and set the sail and watched them slowly creep to the other shore. And the Johnnies? To see them crowd the bank and push and scramble, to be the first to seize the boats, going into the water and stretching out their long arms. Then when they pulled the boats ashore and stood in a group over the cargo, and to hear their exclamations, "Hurrah for Hogg!" "Say, that's not roasted rye, but genuine coffee. Smell it, Yuns. And sugar, too." Then they divided the consignment. They laughed and shouted, "Reckon Yuns been good to Weans this Christmas Day, Yanks." Then they put parched corn, tobacco, ripe persimmons into the boats and sent them back to us. And we chewed the parched corn, smoked the real Virginia leaf, ate persimmons, which if they weren't very filling, at least contracted our stomachs to the size of our Christmas dinner. And so the day passed. We shouted, "Merry Christmas, Johnny." They shouted, "Same to you, Yank." And we forgot the biting wind, the chilling cold. We forgot those men over there were our enemies, whom it might be our duty to shoot before evening. We had bridged the river, spanned the bloody chasm. We were brothers, not goes, waving salutations of goodwill in the name of the Babe of Bethlehem on Christmas Day in 62. At the very front of the opposing armies, the Christ Child struck a truce of us, broke down the wall of partition, became our peace. We exchanged gifts. We shouted greetings back and forth. We kept Christmas, and our hearts were lighter of it. And our shivering bodes were not quite as cold. Christmas number, Harper's Weekly, 1886. Again, the story recounted by Reverend John R. Paxton, Christmas on the Rappahannock, first published in Harper's Weekly in 1886. Sent over by Larry. I appreciate it, Larry. These are the kinds of stories that we should focus on. This, the humanity, the grace, compassion, the mercy, and to Reverend Paxton's point as he concludes, this is the reason for the season. This is what it can do. This is what he can do. The Babe of Bethlehem, as Reverend Paxton puts it. So no wonder those who would seek to plunge us into perpetual war would want to stamp that out, or maybe replace it with something dark, sinister, and nefarious. And, you know, again, I've mentioned it before, but I think of Amos 8, 11, and 12, when that kind of discussion arises, a famine in the land, not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord. And you see situations like this, you know, no good thing lies apart from God, and every good thing lies in his presence, including the Christmas truce, the armistice, these kinds of things. You know, this is a good reason to return to sanity, to realize what really divides us. What divides us? You know, like John in Tennessee said yesterday, what if, you know, that slogan, what if they called a war and no one showed up? What if they gave a war and nobody came? So these are the kinds of stories that should fill our hearts and minds, I think, and that we should focus on, not just this time of year, but all year round, not allow ourselves to be conscripted to the other stuff in perhaps Toynbee-esque fashion first, you know, Bernays on down from there. And so, back to some additional stories. And I'm going to go back to Chicken Soup for the Soul, the Christmas edition. I know. But I'm going to. So, let's go to the entry titled The First Christmas. This was my first Christmas alone. I had known it would be difficult, but I had no idea it was going to be this hard. John had died in September, on the 25th, in fact. So Christmas was 3 months to the day since his death. I tried hard not to feel sorry for myself, but was only successful part of the time. I learned to play bridge, bought tickets to the symphony, and enrolled in a weekly watercolor class. These things helped pass the time. It was true. But in many ways, I felt like I was just going through the motions. I had dreaded the last day of November, knowing that when I tore off the calendar page on the 13th, it would mean that Christmas was just around the corner. And it would be the first one in 46 years without my beloved Johnny. I heaved myself out of the lazy boy with a deep sigh. No sense dwelling on it. I had to stop feeling sorry for myself. And, you know, whenever I think of that expression, I can't help be reminded. Remember that scene in G.I. Jane? T.S. Eliot, right? Never saw a Wild Thing. Sorry for itself. It was T.S. Eliot. Anyway, D.H. Lawrence, excuse me. What was I thinking? D.H. Lawrence, self-pity. We'll return to this story when we come back. Stick around, more right after this break.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
I never saw a wild thing sorry for itself. A bird will fall frozen dead from a bough without ever having felt sorry for itself.
That's it. That's the one. D.H. Lawrence, self-pity. That was quite a scene. Not that I condone, you know, the plot, but I digress. So continuing, The First Christmas from A Chicken Soup for the Soul, the Christmas installment. I heaved myself out of the Lazy Boy with a deep sigh, no sense dwelling on it. I had to stop feeling sorry for myself. Thank the Lord, my daughter Wendy still lived in town, although she had been talking more and more about moving out east since her divorce from Dave. She felt there were more job opportunities in the advertising field out there. Wendy was a go-getter, all right. I could have predicted that she wouldn't stay in Swan River for long, even if her marriage to Dave had worked out. Well, she was here in town, for the time being anyway, and at least we'd have each other's company for Christmas dinner. With that thought in mind, I propelled myself toward the kitchen, where the turkey lolled nakedly in the roaster, ready for stuffing. I'd make the stuffing, peel the potatoes, and start on the pie crust. Wendy was making candied yams and some new recipe for blood pudding, of all things. John would have hated it. Truth to tell, so would I. But sweet man that he was, John would have eaten it anyway, grinning all the while so as not to hurt Wendy's feelings. Such a kind heart. A prince among men. Oh, how I missed him. A shrill ring startled me from my melancholy reverie. Quickly, I wiped my hands on my apron and reached for the phone. It was Wendy. Hi, Mom, my daughter said breathlessly. I'm on the run here, so I won't keep you. I just want to know whether you'd mind it terribly if we had a couple of guests, some friends of mine. I know it's short notice, but you always cook enough for an army anyway, and I know you'll enjoy meeting them. So how about it? Is it okay? I suddenly felt so tired. I really didn't want to entertain strangers. Just getting through the day was a monumental effort by itself. Reluctantly, I agreed. But Wendy, a sensitive girl from the time she was a child, knew that I didn't mean it. Despite that fact, Wendy rolled along enthusiastically. Great then, Mom. I'll pick them up on my way over. See you at 6 o'clock. The line went dead before I could ask my daughter exactly who she was bringing, much less say goodbye. Well, it didn't much matter, I supposed. I would put on a brave face and soldier through it. The rest of the day flew by, it seemed. There was so much for me to do, what with the cooking, the baking, arranging the centerpiece, and getting the table set. Then I still had myself to get ready. No small task these days. Wendy was always telling me that I was still an attractive woman and that any man would be thrilled to be seen in my company. She was such a flatterer, that one. No wonder she was successful in advertising. The doorbell chimed at precisely 6 o'clock. I could always count on Wendy's being on time. She'd gotten that from her father. John hated being late for anything. Putting on a smile, a wide smile, I bustled to the door and opened it to my company. Wendy appeared to be alone. Puzzled, I peered out into the clear, wintry night, but could not see anyone else on the porch. Suddenly, I heard giggling, and then, in the next instant, I felt two sets of woolly arms around me, familiar and comforting. "How are you doing, Clary Clare, quite contrary?" "Clary Clary, quite contrary," one voice trilled. "Good to see you, love. Give us a kiss then, eh? Show us you're glad to see us," the other one boomed. My throat tightened. I felt the tears well up, then spill hotly down my cheeks. I was speechless. Joy and disbelief flooded through me simultaneously. Ted and Mary Rose were throwing their suitcase into the front hall in a noisy jumble, both speaking to me at the same time and tugging on my sleeves as they vied for my attention, just as they had when they were children. In a boisterous hodgepodge, Wendy squeezed her aunt and uncle through the narrow entryway, picking up the suitcases and setting them aside out of the way. Her beaming face flushed from the cold, creased in a radiant smile. "All the way from England, and not so much as a how do you do," Teddy teased. "What do you think we should do, Mary Rose? Maybe we should just turn around and get the next plane for Manchester, eh?" At last, I found my voice. I had last seen my brother and sister, fraternal twins, 4 years my junior, when I'd gone back home to bury our dear father. That was 13 years ago. Of course, they'd written, and there was the occasional long-distance phone call, but it was not the same as seeing them. Then, when John had died, they had sent a long, heartfelt telegram and apologized that they could not be with me. Despite my disappointment, I had understood. Manchester was far away. They had their jobs and families, after all. And it would have cost the earth to get to Swan River on time for the funeral. And now, incredibly, here they were. Thank the Lord they were. My eyes brimming over, I untangled myself from my siblings' arms, moved to Wendy. "Wendy, dear girl of mine, did you orchestrate all of this?" I whispered. "No big deal, Mom," Wendy replied. "Oh, my sweet girl, it's a very, very big deal, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. We'll be right back."
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Thursday, December 19th, 2019, just 6 days from Christmas 2019. And as I said yesterday and today, It's difficult to find stories and to stay focused on these stories, I think. It shouldn't be, though. This should be the focal point, I think. So from, again, Chicken Soup Christmas installment, another entry from the first section, The Meaning of Christmas, that last was also. Well, maybe I'll wait on that. I'll come back to that. Another entry sent to me by Larry again. Thank you, Larry. Another truce. The World War II truce this time. A small Christmas truce. About World War II. A small Christmas truce. by David Hunt back in 2017. No repeat of the Christmas truce of 1914 or 15, obviously. In World War II, there was no truce similar to the one or the two, as it were, that occurred during Christmas in 1914 and World War I, and again in 1915. In that earlier conflict, thousands of British, French, and German soldiers, exhausted by the unprecedented slaughter of the previous 5 months, left their trenches and met the enemy in no man's land, exchanging gifts, food, and stories. Generals on both sides determined to prevent fraternization in future, saw to it that such activities would be severely punished, and so there were no more Christmas truces the rest of that war or the next. But in December of 1944, during the Battle of the Bulge, while the Americans fought for their lives against a massive German onslaught, a tiny shred of human decency happened on Christmas Eve. A German mother made it so. Three American soldiers, one badly wounded, were lost in the snow-covered Ardennes forest as they tried to find the American lines. They'd been walking for 3 days while the sounds of battle echoed in the hills and valleys all around them. Then on Christmas Eve, they came upon a small cabin in the woods. Elizabeth Vinken and her 12-year-old son Fritz had been hoping her husband would arrive to spend Christmas with them, but it was now too late. The Vinkens had been bombed out of their home in Aachen, Germany, and had managed to move into the hunting cabin in the Hürtgen Forest, about 4 miles from Monkau, near the Belgian border. Fritz's father stayed behind to work and visited them when he could. The Christmas meal would now have to wait for his arrival. Elizabeth and Fritz were alone in the cabin. There was a knock on the door. Elizabeth blew out the candles and opened the door to find two enemy American soldiers standing at the door and a third lying in the snow. Despite their rough appearance, they seemed hardly older than boys. They were armed and could have simply burst in, but they hadn't. So she invited them inside, and they carried their wounded comrade into the warm cabin. Elizabeth didn't speak English, and they didn't speak German, but they managed to communicate in broken French. Hearing their story and seeing their condition, especially the wounded soldier, Elizabeth started preparing a meal. She sent Fritz to get 6 potatoes and Herman the rooster. His stay of execution, delayed by her husband's absence, rescinded. Herman's namesake was Hermann Göring, the Nazi leader who Elizabeth didn't care much for. While Herman roasted, there was another knock on the door, and Fritz went to open it, thinking there might be more lost Americans, but instead there were 4 armed German soldiers. Knowing the penalty for harboring the enemy was execution, Elizabeth, white as a ghost, pushed past Fritz and stepped outside. There was a corporal and 3 very young soldiers who wished her a Merry Christmas, but they were lost and hungry. Elizabeth told them they were welcome to come in into the warmth and eat until the food was all gone, but there were others inside who they would not consider friends. The corporal asked sharply if there were Americans inside, and she said there were 3 who were lost and cold, like they were, and 1 was wounded. The corporal stared hard at her until she said, "It is the holy night, and there will be no shooting here," in German. She insisted they leave their weapons outside. Dazed by these events, they slowly complied, and Elizabeth went inside, demanding the same of the Americans. She took their weapons and stacked them outside next to the Germans. Understandably, there was a lot of fear and tension in the cabin as the Germans and Americans eyed each other warily, but the warmth and smell of roast Herman and potatoes began to take the edge off. The Germans produced a bottle of wine and a loaf of bread. While Elizabeth tended to the cooking, one of the German soldiers, an ex-medical student, examined the wounded American. In English, he explained that the cold had prevented infection, but he'd lost a lot of blood. He needed food and rest. By the time the meal was ready, the atmosphere was more relaxed. Two of the Germans were only 16. The corporal was 23. As Elizabeth said grace, Fritz noticed tears in the exhausted soldier's eyes, both German and American. The truce lasted through the night and into the morning. Looking at the Americans' map, the corporal told them the best way to get back to their lines and provided them with a compass. When asked whether they should go instead to Moncow, the corporal shook his head and said it was now in German hands. Elizabeth returned all their weapons and the enemies shook hands and left in opposite directions. Soon they were all out of sight. The truce was over. Fritz and his parents survived the war. His mother and father passed away in the 60s. And by then, he had gotten married and moved to Hawaii, where he opened Fritz's European Bakery in Kapalama, a neighborhood in Honolulu. For years, he tried to locate any of the German or American soldiers without luck, hoping to corroborate the story and see how they had fared. President Reagan heard of this story and referenced it in a 1985 speech he gave in Germany as an example of peace and reconciliation. But it wasn't until the television program Unsolved Mysteries broadcast the story in 1995 that it was discovered that a man living in Frederick, Maryland nursing home had been telling the same story for years. Fritz flew to Frederick in January 1996 and met with Ralph Blank, one of the American soldiers who still had the German compass and map. Ralph told Fritz, "Your mother saved my life." Fritz said the reunion was the high point of his life. Fritz Vinken also managed to later contact one of the other Americans, but none of the Germans. Sadly, he died on December 8, 2002, almost 58 years to the day of the Christmas truce. He was forever grateful that his mother got the recognition she deserved. So these are the kinds of stories. I wish we could tell more of these stories and focus more on these stories. And on that note, back to the meaning of Christmas from Chicken Soup, the Christmas edition. So the Christmas of my dreams. Christmas cookies are all frosted. The gingerbread men have purple hair. And because little hands can only reach so high, the top half of the tree is quite bare. But the bottom half sparkles with tinsel and foil stars and paper chains. And along with the gifts of the wise men bring are 3 nickels and 2 candy canes. Although it's true our money's tighter than ever, our love just keeps on growing, it seems. And I couldn't ask for anything more. This is the Christmas of my dreams. I used to have such great expectations about Christmas and just how it should be, with a picture-perfect table of goodies and lots of presents under the tree. Although I still love the tinsel and glitter, the scene of pine and songs in the air, the scent of pine and songs in the air. When all's said and done, what matters most is the Christmas love that all of us share. Although our Christmas may not be very fancy, like the ones you see in magazines, I wouldn't trade it for anything. This is the Christmas of my dreams. So let's each count our blessings and thank our God above as we celebrate this season of the greatest gift of love. Our Christmas may not be very fancy, like the ones you see in magazines, but I couldn't ask for anything more. This is the Christmas of my dreams. And I hope that's what people share this holiday season, this holy day season. As you know, I think of Toynbee's discussion of the conversion of society by the conversion of language. I hope that's what you and your loved ones are able to celebrate. It seems, you know, some would say that these times are the same as, you know, bygone times, perhaps even the good old days. Some things are no different. Some things don't change. But I think I would probably argue that now more than ever, we need this sentiment, because I believe that we are living in times in America that most people don't really understand. And if they did, they would perhaps view those times differently and respond accordingly, perhaps, you know, more in the fashion of the stories that I've been sharing. So hopefully this serves as a good reminder not to wear folks out, which, you know, when we are inundated with too many of these stories, you might argue is also a risk that we run. So I hope that as we go through these few days leading up to Christmas, that's not what these broadcasts do. I hope that it helps encourage folks. It helps to thaw our chilled hearts and maybe just pause the usual onslaught of the propaganda, even though, as I have admitted, it's difficult not to, you know, see certain things and be concerned and not speak to it. Just interesting things. Stories like this, SiliconRepublic.com. I will resist the temptation to focus on stories like this, but this one, Silicon Republic, published today, engineers reveal invincible autonomous robot insect that can't be flattened. And I think of, what was it, the Dragonfly the CIA built back in the 70s that they talked about. Anyway, a team in Switzerland has created a soft robotic insect that can withstand a multitude of hits from a fly swatter. Anyway, things like that. What would be the purpose of that? And, you know, again, when I see stories like that, I think of InQtel, speaking of the CIA and venture capital, as the rudder of technological innovation. I'm sure if we dug in, we'd find those efforts somewhere close by. Anyway, setting those kinds of stories aside, those are the kinds of things I don't want to focus on. I want to focus on these heartwarming tales. And whatever we can do to encourage the compassion and kindness, grace, and mercy toward one another, you know, goodwill, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, that kind of thing. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air there's a feeling of Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. And on every street corner you
Final segment of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. As I've been saying this week, if you have a story, feel free to call in. If something you want to share, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. So trying to focus on the reason for the season, the best in mankind, the grace, the mercy, the kindness that we should all extend this time of year toward one another. In the words of Charles Kuralt from one of the other Chicken Soup Christmas stories, the opening, a closed highway, opened hearts. I think I'll maybe start with this story in the next hour, but it opens with a quote by Charles Carroll: "The everyday kindness of the back roads more than make up for the acts of greed in the headlines." And so we should be focusing on those things. And that is kind of the inspiration, I think, of the movies on the Hallmark Channel. It's unfortunate that what has happened. I think the timing of that whole controversy of late, you know, the Zola ad thing that I've talked about this week, is unfortunate. The timing, you know, to besmirch something, it's just unfortunate. And so hopefully, rather than goading the cynicism and bitterness of folks, hopefully people can reach through that. It's difficult, you know, it's difficult when the best is clearly, I think, targeted. It's hard to argue that these things happen by accident. After all, that's what Edward Bernays said, right? Vance Packard quoting Edward Bernays in The Hidden Persuaders. Newsworthy events do not happen by accident. They happen to influence behavior and action. And, you know, so when I think I'll close this hour with this idea. You know, Patrick Henry, Virtue, Morality, and Religion, as I've mentioned, that sort of juxtaposed with Patrick Henry's letter to Archibald Blair, January 8, 1799. The great pillars of all government and of social life, virtue, morality, and religion. This is the armor, and this alone that renders us invincible. If we lose these, we are conquered, fallen indeed. So long as our manners and principles remain sound, there is no danger. Reminds me of something else I'll mention on the other side of the break. Third hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.